First Thessalonians chapter number 5, and just for a few minutes here. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Been a good day. The last couple of Sunday nights we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, things of that nature, the ministries of the Holy Spirit and how He works and moves and does different things. He convicts, He regenerates, He reproves, and He fills and seals and all of that. You remember the illustrations we had last week. And the Sunday before that, we were talking about, we had the board out, and I believe it was, we were talking about the old man and the new man and how we struggle sometimes to live the Christian life. Well, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And look down at verse 16. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Then the next verse says, pray without ceasing. Then the next verse says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then the next verse says, quench not the Spirit. It's hard to quench the Spirit when you're rejoicing evermore, when you're praying without ceasing, and when you're giving thanks for everything. You see that 16, 17, 18, 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. And you won't quench the Holy Spirit. It's hard to quench the Holy Spirit when you're doing verse 16, 17, and 18. But when you stop doing 16, 17, and 18, then it's real easy to quench the Holy Spirit of God. Then it says, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for the service we've already had. Lord, I pray that you wouldn't let me mess it up. But Lord, you would continue through your word blessing your people. Lord, the songs have been good. The congregational singing's been good. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray you'd bless the preaching time now. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Like we just referred to, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Now, verse 19 is where we want to get to tonight. Quench not the Spirit. How do you quench the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you this, and everybody knows this. This is elementary to you. There's only two kinds of people in this room right now, including me. Everybody in this room, there's only two kinds of people. It's not nationality. It has nothing to do with where you live or what side of the tracks you live on. It has nothing to do with that. There are two kinds of people in this room right now. You're either saved and on your way to heaven, or you're lost. There's only two kinds in the whole world. There's only saved people and lost people. There's saints and then there's ain'ts. You're either a saint or you're an ain't. You're either on your way to heaven or you're not. But two, there's only two. There's no in between. Well, I think I'm going to heaven. Well, maybe I'm going to heaven. Well, I don't know. Yes, you know. 1 John 5 says you can know that you have eternal life. You can know that before you go to bed tonight and lay your head on your pillow. You can know that you have eternal life. So there's only two kinds of people, saved, lost. Now, saved people, there are two kinds of people of them. Two kinds, saved people. There's carnal saved people. And there are spiritual saved people. There are carnal saved people, which are saved, they're on their way to heaven, but they don't act like it, they don't look like it, they don't do the things that God wants them to do. And then there's a spiritual side of a saved person that does and follows the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then we call those spiritual Christians. Apostle Paul gives us all of that layout in 1 Corinthians chapter number, the end of chapter 2 and first part of chapter 3. The carnal, the spiritual, and so on and so forth, and the natural man, which is the lost man. Yeah. Two kinds of people in the room, saved, lost. Two kinds of saved people, carnal and spiritual. Wouldn't you like to live? This is my question tonight. Wouldn't you like to live the Christian life? Wouldn't you like to always be pleasing unto the Lord? I mean, it's a matter of, I never have understood why anybody want to get saved and then they don't want to live for the Lord. Now, there's a couple of things in here we're going to notice. And we may deal with this a couple of Sunday nights from now. But there are three principles here about the Holy Spirit that Paul lays out. There's three of them. Two of them are negative. One of them is positive. He says, quench not, that's negative, quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit, that's a negative. And then the third one is a positive, he says, walk in the Spirit. So you're going to have to stop quenching, you're going to have to stop grieving, so you can walk in the Spirit. And that's what he's talking about. Now, everybody knows, this is refresher, this is getting us all up to speed. Everybody knows in this room, if you've been going here any length of time, you know that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved into your heart. He took up residence in my life. He lives here.
Amen.
He lives inside of me. I didn't have to pray 6 months to get it. I got it when I got saved. I got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. Principle number two is, since both of us are living in the same body. You're looking at Jeremy Ballinger. He has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him. Sometimes Jeremy Ballinger wants to do this, and the Holy Spirit wants to do this. You've got two people living on the inside. Now, if y'all are going to have to live together in the same body, wouldn't it be good for y'all to learn how to get along with one another?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have to live in the same body, you might want to get along with the Holy Spirit if He's going to live in here. That means wherever you go tomorrow, the Holy Spirit goes with you. Whatever you watch on TV, He watches TV with you. It's none of that. You can't do this. You can't say, now Holy Spirit, you close your eyes. I'm going to watch this show. You don't look. Look, if the Holy Spirit's not supposed to be looking at it, you shouldn't look at it either. And I can tell you, the Holy Spirit does not like American Idol, Dancing with the Stars. The Holy Spirit don't like all of that. Now, sometimes, you know, sometimes our bodies say, yeah, I want to watch that. Holy Spirit's like, no, I don't want to watch that. Turn that. So, this is a struggle going on the inside of your body all the time. It's me and the Holy Spirit living in the same body. Now, if He's going to live there, and He is. I mean, if you're saved, He's going to live there.
Right.
Okay, you've got two people living in the same body. Then y'all are going to have to learn how to get along with one another. Okay, let me give you a for instance. When the Holy Spirit, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of you. That is a union. A union took place. But that does not mean there's always unity.
Right.
You understand? Listen, you can have a union without having unity. Give you for instance. I've done this when I was growing up. Kids, don't try this at home. Take two cats. Tie their tails together. All the cat lovers are going, no. You'll get the illustration. Just don't do this at home, kids. Caleb, close your ears. Take two cats, tie their tails together, throw them over a clothesline. Okay, you know what you have? You have a union. But you do not have unity. They don't like one another. They are together. You've tied them together. For all practical purposes, there are one unit there over a clothesline. You have a union, but you do not have unity. All right, saved person. You're saved. You have a union with the Holy Spirit of God. You may not always have unity with the Holy Spirit of God. And to live the Christian life, you're going to have to learn how to have unity with the Holy Spirit. Married people. Married people. You come down the aisle, everybody's all goo-goo eyes. Oh, I just can't wait. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you what? Yes, I do. And 20 years later, you're going, I don't, I don't. I wish I did. Not me, of course, but you know, y'all know. People get married. There becomes a union in that home. Union. They live together. Two people living in the same house. There has to be a union. But it don't always have to be unity. Sometimes there's not unity. So, just because you're saved, that doesn't mean you get along with the Holy Spirit. Just because you have a union with Him does not mean that y'all get along. And so, your Christian life does not need to be like two alley cats with their tails tied together over a clothesline. That's what a lot of Christian lives are like. And I said that illustration just to be silly, but that is true with a lot of Christian people. They're living with the Holy Spirit, fighting against the Holy Spirit, don't like the Holy Spirit, don't want to do what He wants to do, don't want to submit to what He likes, and there's a constant battle going on in the Christian life because there's union, but no unity. Right. My friend, we got to learn how to get along with Him if He's going to live in there. And I sure want Him living in there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Try it without Him. Quench not the Spirit. You say, preacher, how do you quench the Spirit? Well, first we got to find out what quenching is. And if you want to find out what quenching is, you go to the Bible. The Bible will define the Bible for you. Look, take your Bible and look at Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Now, on Sunday nights, I try to do this kind of teach preaching type stuff. And so it's a little different than Sunday mornings and whatever. Mark chapter number 9 and verse 44. Somebody said, I don't care what kind of preaching you do, just don't preach on the Ten Commandments again. Mark 9, look at verse 43. I don't have time to go into the doctrinal application, but anyway, we're just looking for a definition is all we're looking for. Verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be, what? Look at verse 44. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not what? If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt in life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be what? Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not what? Okay. And you can go on and read, and there it says that several times over. Quench. Where the fire is not quenched. Well, if you want to get a definition, how do you quench fire? How do you quench fire? What you do, if you want to quench fire, you throw water on it.
Yeah.
It'll quench it. Everybody got me? You throw water on it. It hinders the operation and the effectiveness of the fire.
All right.
We say this sometimes. We say, I need a glass of water to quench my thirst.
Yes.
So you drink a glass of water to suppress, to get rid of the thirst, to hinder the effectiveness. So, what is quench not the Spirit? Okay, quench not the Spirit is this. By the Bible definition says this. Quench not the Spirit, do not hinder. Do not hinder the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is wanting to do one thing, and when we quench the Holy Spirit, we're throwing water on it and saying, no, I don't want to do that. And it quenches the Holy Spirit. He loses His effectiveness. He loses His... We hinder Him from working and wanting to do in our lives. Several other verses you could go to. You could go to Ephesians 6:16 where it talks about quenching the fiery darts of the wicked one. Quenching, suppressing, hindering the effectiveness of an operation in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Now I'll tell you this story real quick. I'll tell you this. When I first, let's see, I was traveling on the road. I don't know if I've ever told you all this, but anyway, we was traveling on the road. I was singing with the family group called the Brashears, and we were traveling all over the place. Anyway, and I called my dad. My dad remembers this. I called my dad, and I said, I'm struggling with something, and the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about preaching. I was about 17 or 18. I can't remember. Anyway, and I said, Dad, I think the Lord's calling me to preach. And this is what he told me. He said, well, try to get out of it if you can. I said, that's sort of odd. Try to get out of it. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, if you can get out of it, then he ain't calling you. If you can't get out of it, and you can't do nothing, you wake up thinking about it, you go to bed, wake up, you go to lunch thinking about it, and that's all that's on your mind, you can't get out from under it, he might be calling you. So, guess what? I said, you know what, man, I don't really want to do this. Folks, I'm not doing something. Listen, there's something I can't help. And I got another story to tell you where I tried to get out of it for the second time after it done started and wound up in the Jackson General Hospital for about 3 weeks. And so I built that whole new West Wing over there, and our Blue Cross Blue Shield did. But anyway, and that's a whole other story within itself. But what happens is when you quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me was trying to build a fire and go, hey, want you to preach. Preach the gospel. Preach, preach, preach. Be instant in season, out of season. And I just put some water on it and said, no. And I'd get a little peace, a little bit, because the fire was quenched. I'd be in a church service or whatever, and that fire started to build again. And I couldn't get out. I couldn't shake it. Couldn't get away from it. And then all of a sudden, no, no, I don't want to. No, no. Put water on it. That's quenching the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. Now, maybe the Lord, maybe not calling you to preach or whatever. Maybe he's telling you to teach a Sunday school class or whatever the case might be. But anytime you tell the Holy Spirit, tell the Lord, tell God, same people, anytime you tell the Holy Spirit no, you are throwing water on, you're hindering the effectiveness and the operation of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, and you cannot live the Christian life until you obey what God's wanting you to do, whatever the case might be. It may not be preaching, it may be mission field, it may be whatever. But be careful. Because when you surrender and you say, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. He'll try you to see if you really mean that. Acts 7:51, you don't have to turn there, but Stephen was talking to the Pharisees and the Jewish people over there. And he says, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Resisting, quenching, throwing water. He's there to hinder, to lose the effectiveness and the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what God don't want you to do. Say, yield, yield. Let me, I've done this before. Let me do it again. You come to a three-way stop. And it's not a red light or green light or anything like that. It's just a three-way stop. Maybe a blinking yellow light or blinking red light. You come up to the three-way stop. You stop. And it's one of those things, whoever gets to there to a complete stop first has the right of way to continue on and go. And so let's just say two people get there at the same time and they stop at the red or the three-way stop at the same time. Now, if you do like I do, you hurry up, get there, stop, and then go. Before they even chance to think about it. But if you want to be right about it, one amen, hallelujah. If you want to be right, you come to a complete stop, and so-and-so over here to your right comes at the same time. And this is what you do. You yield the right of way to him or her, whoever it is. You look over there and you're like, I'll let you go first.
Yeah.
And then they're going. Then you look back at them and go. You done wasted 30 minutes. You could have done gone. But this is what you do. You are yielding the right of way. Okay. You and the Holy Spirit live in the same body, don't you? I hope you do. If you're saved, you and the Holy Spirit live in the same body. You want to have more than just a union, don't you? You want to have unity, don't you? Well, then with you and the Holy Spirit coming up at the same, the red light there, or the stop and go, and both of you get there at the same time, this is what you need to do. Holy Spirit, you go first. I'll follow you.
Right.
Sometimes we do the Holy Spirit like what I was talking about a while ago, trying to do other people. Hurry up, get there. Holy Spirit, you follow me. And the Holy Spirit's like, I ain't following you. I know where you're trying to go. This right here is simple. And I'm trying to make it funny for it to be interesting, but this is simple. To get, it's just hard to live. Sometime we come to say, Holy Spirit, hey, won't you go first? I'll yield to you. I want you to go first. I want you to be the lead. I want you to take over my life. John 15, I don't have time to preach all of this, but John 15, several times in John 15. John 15 over there says, abide in me, abide in me. Abide means more than just to live. Abide means more than just to stay. Abide means more than just to take a visit as a guest. Abiding in Him means to settle down and be at home and to be closely aligned with something. If you want to abide in Him, y'all are going to have to get together. Y'all are going to have to be going the same direction. You're going to have to yield to Him. Romans chapter 6, about verse number 12 says, yield not your members to unrighteousness. Yield not your members. So where's my members? Hands, feet, eyes, nose, mouth, ears. If you're gossiping, you're yielding your members to unrighteousness. If you're stealing... Oh, we're on that again. You are not yielding your members, or you are yielding your members to unrighteousness. Eyes, ears, all of that kind of thing. Yield not your members to unrighteousness. Okay, Lord, if you do not want me to yield my members to unrighteousness, what do you want me to yield to? Romans 6:12, same verse says, but yield yourselves unto God.
Right.
God, you go first. I'll follow you. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loved me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. That's it. That's it. Now, putting that into practice when you walk out of those doors is the toughie. Sitting in here with all of us saved people, it's easy to go, amen, that's right, boy, I can do this. And you walk out them doors. And you and the Holy Spirit come up to the same stoplight and you're going.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to follow Him.
Yeah, come on, brother.
He's wanting me to teach that Sunday school class, and I know He does. And if I yield to Him and let Him go first, I'll have to follow Him right into that Sunday school class. Yield your members unto God. I'll tell you this, and I'm done. I was going to read this, but I won't take time to do it. Maybe next week. Psalm 51. David said this after the deal with Bathsheba. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart, I pray. See if there be any wicked way in me. Purge me with hyssop. If you'll read the end of 51, this is what the end of 51 says. King David said this. Watch. I know it's Old Testament, but you're going to learn a whole lot in the Old Testament. Watch this. This is what he said. The sacrifices of God are a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Some say, oh, them sacrifices, Old Testament, oh, that's what saved them. Baloney on that.
Come on.
The sacrifice has to be in here before you ever do a sacrifice out in the open.
Yeah, right.
Read it. Psalm 51. At the end, he said, first, the sacrifices of God. It's a broken heart, contrite spirit. That's first. Then, I can do my sacrifices, my bullocks and my this, that, and the other. But you better take care of it right there first. Or you can do all the sacrifices, stand on your head, on top of your head, do it backwards, do it front ways, do it all the ways you want to sacrifice something, and God will look at it and go, oh, but he did a sacrifice. Oh, really? His heart wasn't in it. God looked at David and said, boy, I see your heart. The sure mercies of God. I don't know about y'all. I'd like to live a Christian life. I'd like to. Now, sometimes I don't always do it. I don't always do it. Yes, at least I'll admit it to you. I don't always do it. But I think we'd be honest with ourselves. We, if the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, we want to live a Christian life. We want to do right. We want to yield our members to the Holy Spirit. And so Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. He says, don't quench the Spirit. Of course, he says, quench not the Spirit. I understand that. Stop hindering. Stop hindering the operation and the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit in your life. You'll never get to where He wants you to be until you do and stop hindering Him and stop suppressing Him from allowing Him to do what He wants to do in and through your life. Heavenly Father, I pray that's helped somebody. Lord, I want our church, Holy Hills Baptist Church, to be filled with spiritual Christians. Lord, start with a spiritual preacher, a spiritual pastor. Lord, help us start with our hearts and make a sacrifice unto You, a broken and a contrite heart. Lord, the sacrifices of God. Lord, I pray that be the case. Lord, help us to not quench the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that You'd do that for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.